gather in the Lord's house this morning to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Sunday, so we can communicate that and time to vote for those on August 29th. Thank you for your generosity in your missions collection for this past July, and thank you for your continued generosity as we continue to collect items during this month of August for all our students that will be going back to schools in the next couple of weeks. We are continuing our school supply collection for the Chamber of Commerce. This supports students, it supports teachers that will be, some will be actually going back the next week or two. Some are a couple of weeks down the road, but please continue to pick up those items as you go out to the grocery store, go to Target, if you go to the drugstore, just pick up some of those items that are necessities during the school year. We have a collection bin here at the lower entrance. We also have a collection bin upstairs in the fellowship hall. So please drop those items off in the next week or two as we collect those items for the Chamber of Commerce. I also want you to mark the calendar for Sunday, August 22nd, as we celebrate the beginning of the school year. That Sunday morning, during the morning worship service, we will have a blessing of the backpacks as we have a special prayer for our students as they return to the classroom, for our teachers as they return to the classroom. That worship service will be a time when we celebrate this transition time in our school, in our community, and in the school year. We'll be noticing in the next week or two, we'll have ELI students returning to the campus. This is a transition time for our community. We want you to be a part of that service on August 22nd. Also, that morning at 9 a.m., we will be having a church-wide breakfast upstairs in the fellowship hall. This is the day we want to honor our educators, those that are working in the schools, those that are currently working, those that have worked in the past, and maybe a retired teacher. We want you to be there as well for this breakfast on the 22nd at 9 a.m. Be a part of the special morning as we remember those educators, as we celebrate our educators in the present, as we celebrate this time of the year as our students and teachers return to the classroom. So be a part of that day. I hope you'll also take note of special other events that are coming up in the month of August and September that you see in your August newsletter. Many other things coming up in the life of our church in the coming weeks. Now, let's stand, let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we celebrate Him and worship this morning.
Thank you.
12 this morning. Have mercy on me, God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out all my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Create in me a pure heart, O God. That is why we worship. That is why we come into his presence every single day, not just on Sundays, to create in us a pure heart, O God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, asking for that pure heart this morning. King of all the earth, creator of the universe, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. You are merciful and full of loving kindness and great compassion. We will rejoice for your grace, O Lord, has overflowed for us. You have washed us thoroughly from our wickedness and cleansed us from our sin. Against you alone have we sinned, and to you alone do we look for restoration. Who is like our God, the one who takes away the iniquity of his people, the one who gives them clean hearts and right spirits? We rejoice for your grace, O Lord, has overflowed for us. You are our God, the Holy One. We come before you today with thanksgiving and offer you the sacrifice of praise. We lift this prayer in the name of the one true God, our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 4, To God Be the Glory. Let's stand and let's worship.
Through God be the glory.
set your face toward Jerusalem and walked alongside those who suffered. Be our vision that we too may walk the way of the cross and extend a hand to those we meet. Lord, you stop to heal the sick, cure the lame, and give sight to the blind. Be our vision that we too may give time to others and respond to their needs. Lord, you said, the first shall be last, and the last first. Be our vision that we too may work towards your kingdom when the exalted will be brought low and the lowly exalted. Lord, you ate with tax collectors and sinners and heard their stories. Be our vision that we too may listen to the despised and rejected and value their lives. Lord, you took time to pray and time to be silent. Be our vision that through our prayers, fasting, and almsgiving, we too may draw closer to you and find your way. Lord, you enter Jerusalem with peace in your heart. Be our vision that we too may desire peace where others desire war and may work for justice where injustice reigns. Lord, give us the gladness of your help and support us with a willing spirit, for you alone are our hope and our salvation. Lord, be our vision this day. Amen. Again, I want to say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship this morning on this first Sunday in August. This Sunday, I'll be continuing our sermon series that I began a couple weeks ago, The Dog Days of Summer. Now, we are literally in the dog days. If anybody spent any time outside this past week, it has been absolutely miserable. It has been hot. It has been humid. The sweltering, insufferable heat index has been over the top this past week. But I think we're going to get a little bit of a reprieve this past week. But it doesn't mean I'm going to stop the sermon series just to pause because the temperature stopped. So, over the last few days, it has been nearly impossible to be outside in the heat of the afternoon, and I encourage you not to do that when it's hot and humid as it has been. The last few weeks, we've looked at some of those stories from Scripture, those hot stories from Scripture, the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3, the chariots of fire in 2 Kings chapter 6, and the pillar of fire and cloud in Exodus chapter 13. In each story, we saw a specific characteristic of God that speaks to us and speaks to who we're called to be. First, we saw that God is our preserver. Second, we saw that God is our protector. And last week, we saw that God is our provider. Now, this morning, we're going to again look at an Old Testament passage, one that speaks of heat again, but reveals an important truth that we as Christians should carry daily. This morning, I want to ask you a question before I get to our focus passage this morning. What gets you all fired up? I'm sure there's something. And I'm sure it's different for all of us. What gets you all fired up? Is it sports? Is it politics? Is it money? The list may go on and on, but there's something that gets you fired up. You can talk to me about it after the sermon. You don't have to answer me right now because I may never get to preach the sermon if you start responding. But there's things that get us all fired up. And when I think of getting fired up, I have an image in my mind from many years in the past. I have an old revival preacher when I was growing up at Cadet Memorial Baptist Church. And I don't know how old I was, but this guy was in my mind. He got all fired up when he was behind the pulpit. His face was beet red, sweat was pouring down his face, and I thought, how can he sweat so much? How can he get so hot?
may remind you about preachers that get all fired up. There's an old preacher that was preaching one Sunday morning. He was getting fired up during a Sunday morning sermon. Every member of the church is a sinner, he preached from the pulpit that day. When he hollered this statement a second time for emphasis, every member of the church is a sinner, there was a man sitting in the very back rows. About where Reggie Pitt is sitting today. Hey, Reggie, you're my man this morning. There was a man sitting where Reggie was sitting back on that Sunday morning, and a broad smile came across his face. Well, the preacher didn't like that very much. He thought he got through to everybody, but obviously not to that man. So he cranked up his volume a little bit, and he bellowed, "Each and every member of this church is a sinner deserving hell." Still nothing. The man sitting in the back smiled even bigger. So finally, the preacher tried the direct approach, "Mister, you there on the back row. I said every member of this church is a sinner. Didn't you hear me, man?" The man laughed out loud and said, "Yeah, I heard you, but I'm not a member of this church." What gets you all fired up? What gets you all fired up? Or to put it another way, what is it that you are passionate about today? What are you passionate about in this moment, in this hour, on this Lord's day? Is it a charity? Is it your work? Is it sports? Is it another hobby? Is it your family? There are lots of things that we can be passionate about. But this morning, we're going to look at what we should be passionate about. Let's look at what people back during Elijah's time, Elijah's day, were passionate or were not passionate about. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read verses 16 through 40 this morning. 16 through 40 is it's a long passage. It's a powerful story. It's one you're probably all familiar with, but it's a great story. It's one that is one of my favorite Old Testament stories. Unfortunately, in this story, what we're going to see that back in those days, the people weren't very fortunate and weren't happy about very much. They weren't passionate about really anything. They weren't really even willing to stand for anything. There's a great drought that has fallen over the land. Elijah is called by God to go to King Ahab, telling him that rain is going to come to the land. Go tell King Ahab that rain is coming. You see, Elijah is the prophet for that region, but King Ahab has fallen corrupt. He's been misled by the prophets and the worship of Baal. The prophets and the prophecies of Asherah and his wife Jezebel. This brings us to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 through 40. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets of Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to him, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will God who enters by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, though do not light the fire. So they took the bull, given them, and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is God. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears as was their custom until their blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water, and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a 3rd time, he ordered, and they did it a 3rd time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God of Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned upon the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. What can we learn about God's relationship with us from this story, from this hot story this morning? The very first thing that Christians must recognize about God is that he is the God who wants it all. He doesn't want just a part of it. He wants it all. There's an old rock song that was recently used, I think it was in a car commercial, that says, I want it all, I want it all, but I want it now. Anybody remember that commercial? I can't think. I can't remember what it was for. But God was all in this story. He was playing for keeps. God does not do things halfway. He never has done things halfway. He does it full out. Elijah asked the people to make a decision. He said, who are you following? Are you following God or are you following Baal? He didn't say, are you going to follow Baal on this day or follow God on this day? He said, which one are you going to follow? Which way will you go? Will you worship the one true God or the prophets of Baal? Yet none would speak. No one would speak. None had the courage to stand up for what they believed in. Maybe they were afraid. Maybe they were afraid of the king. Maybe it was that they were just not passionate enough to stand up for what they believed in. Maybe they did not even care. But God cared. God was passionate about it. For God, it was all or nothing. With God, he consumed it all. He took it all for himself. The sacrifice, the wood, the stones on the altar, the water around the altar. He took it all. It kind of reminds me of the old hymn, I Surrender Pardon, right? Everybody knows that song? I Surrender Just a Pardon. No. Judson W. Van Deventer, sorry, I can't speak this morning, Judson W. Van Deventer, describing and recalling the day he surrendered it all. You see, Judson was born on a Michigan farm in 1855. He graduated from Hillsdale College and became an art teacher and supervisor in the public school system there in Sharon, Pennsylvania. He began working also part-time at some of the evangelistic meetings held by his church, and some of his friends urged him to give up the teaching and become an evangelist. For 5 years, he bounced back and forth between teaching and helping with the evangelistic mission. He felt like he was living two lives, but eventually, he surrendered it all. He writes, "At last, the pivotal hour of my life came, and I surrender all. A new day was ushered into my life. I became an evangelist and discovered deep down in my soul a talent unknown to me. God had hidden a song into my heart, and touching a tender chord, he caused me to sing. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." God wants our all. Not just the Sunday part, not just the convenient part, not just the leftovers. He wants it all. In this story, too, Christians can also see that God is the God who answers. Throughout Scripture, God provides himself and proves himself repeatedly. God is the God who does what he says he will do. He keeps his promises. He tells us to call out to him and he will answer. A couple years ago, in 2005, there was a president, the president of Indonesia, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name. His name was President Yudhoyono. Repeat that after me. President Yudhoyono. 2005, he decided he was going to cut out the bureaucracy in his country. And so to do this, he said, "You know what? I want people to talk to me. Not to everybody else around me, but I want you to talk to me." So he gave his country his cell phone number. Gutsy thing to do, right? Well, within an hour, he had 30,000 text messages. Within a day, his phone crashed because it had so many phone calls. What he thought was a politically shrewd move short-circuited. It was a big mistake. Thankfully, God has a simpler plan. Thankfully, God doesn't require a tech assistant or a team of trained professionals to run the program for us. We just simply have to call on him. He doesn't have to give us his cell phone number. He answers all the messages, and guess what? He's never out of range. We don't have to check our phone to see if the Wi-Fi is working, or if we've got the right number or right area code. Moreover, let's face it, God sees the bigger picture. He sees more than we see. He knows more than we do. When we call out to him, he will answer. But it may not always be the answer that we want. And that may be hard for us to hear. That's the frustrating part sometimes, right? When we call on him, we're expecting him to answer in the way we want him to answer. That may be a little difficult. It's hard to accept God's answers when they do not meet our expectations. Nevertheless, he knows best. God answers in ways that we do not always understand, but he sees the big picture. For example, why did God have Elijah pour water over all the sacrifice, the wood, the altar, and the ground? I am no Boy Scout. That's honest truth. I'm not a Boy Scout. But I know you don't get the wood wet to start a fire. Amen? to answer Elijah in a miraculous way so everybody else gathered that day would be able to see and understand the truth. You see, the people in Elijah's time were looking for an answer in the wrong place. But when we seek the perfect God, He will answer in perfection in the right place every single time. Finally, from this story, Christians must see that God is the God that sometimes answers with the heat. That God is the God who sometimes answers with fire. God wasn't messing around on Mount Carmel that day. The prophets of Baal thought that Baal was on top that day, but they found out a little bit different. That day on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal found out there was something bigger than Baal. God showed up. God was there in full power and authority above any others pretending to be God. Fire came directly down from heaven, directly from God. The fire devoured the sacrifice, the wood, the altar, the stones, and even lapped up the water. God comes through with fire when we need fire. God comes through with the wind when we need wind. God comes through with water when we need water. God always comes through with what we need when we need it. God holds nothing back. Let me repeat that again. God holds nothing back. Deuteronomy 4:24 states that for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. God is an all-consuming fire. Through an all-consuming fire on Mount Carmel, God proved who He was without any hint of question. Immediately, those who were there around those altars acknowledged the power and authority that they saw demonstrated. They needed to see, they needed to be shook, and God shook them that day. But it also serves as a warning sign for us as well. God's not playing around. If we are not for God, we are against Him. Do not think that our choices, our decisions, our behaviors will go unnoticed. So this morning, I ask you that question again. What are you passionate about? What consumes you, drives your loyalty? What drives your lives and ultimately your eternity? Are we consumed by God's love? Are there things in the world that get our attention and passion more than God? Do we cheer louder for sporting events than for when someone turns their life to God? Do we spend more time championing what may be very well good causes more than we spend time letting God's love flow through us to a broken world? God was passionate about us. God is passionate about us. Since the beginning of time, He has been, and that work carried through to the cross. God was so passionate about having a relationship with you and me that He held absolutely nothing back to save us. Because God is so good. And because He is so good, He expects our all. God wants to be our passion. God wants to consume us every single day, not just on Sunday morning. God wants to be our passion, for we were His passion first. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the model of passion that was shown on Mount Carmel so many years ago. And may we have that same all-consuming passion that You showed those that gathered around those altars. May we show that passion every single day, not just on Sunday mornings during the worship hour, but every other hour of every single day of our lives. Father, whatever You're calling us to go, wherever You're calling us and taking us, may we carry that passion with us. We lift this prayer in the name of the One who gave his all for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Maybe today, as we come to sing our closing hymn, maybe today is the first time you recognize the passion that Christ has for you, and you're ready to return that passion for him. I'll be down front. Let me tell you what it is about to live a life for Christ. Or maybe you're looking for a church home who seeks to honor God in their day-to-day lives. We seek to honor him and serve him daily. Let me tell you what it means to be a member here at First Baptist Elon. Or maybe just today you recognize that maybe there's things that are out in front of you that you put ahead of God, and that you're ready to make God your first and primary passion. Our altar is always open. Come down front, or I'll pray with you down front. Whatever you need to do today, whatever commitment you need to make today, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. Today and make a difference in the world. Go in peace this morning.